Hey, fans of all things spooky out there. My name is Jerry, and I'm the host of Hillbilly Horror Stories. We are a member of the Dark Myths Collective. We're a husband and wife team that actually likes to tell you scary stories, but I'm also a stand-up comedian, so we'd like to mix a little bit of humor in there with it. Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcast and see why we have almost 300 five-star iTunes reviews. We like to think that we are scary enough for the true paranormal fans, but also entertaining enough for the skeptics out there who just want to have a good time. But that's enough talking about us. It's time to listen to one of our favorite podcasts, our Dark Myths brother, Secret Transmission.
This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about voodoo. I am your host, Toby, and alongside me are my lovely, lovely, lovely co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Rudy.
Kristen.
What are you sucking us up for, man? What's
that
all about?
Well, I have some news. Okay. It's very exciting news.
Another hater?
No. Well, we do have haters, right. Apparently.
Yeah.
Hey, just a quick note, since you probably fast-forwarded through the intro, we're not professionals.
In any means.
And we don't just use Wikipedia, dicks.
Okay.
Just putting that in there.
Yeah. We Google everything.
Yeah, we're Google whores. Okay, so...
I'm a YouTube whore when I do my
research. Me too.
Research,
I do a lot of YouTube documentaries and stuff. So, the news.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to introduce our producer. I made a deal to make our show better.
God.
It's funny that you say God, because...
Yeah. Hello, I'm the devil. Jeez. I'm the producer of the show now. Yeah, so Toby sold the soul to me to make the show better. So I'm just going to coach you guys, and I'm going to sit in the corner. And we'll make the show better.
Okay, go sit in the corner. Okay.
Why do we have to be punished?
You're not. It's just Toby's soul that's going to hell.
We have to work with you.
Well, just shut up and do your job.
Exactly. Point proven.
Yep. He's the devil. He's a dick. What do you expect?
Yeah, he's not very nice. He might whip
Way
me.
Way to go, Toby.
I know.
Good job. Good on you, Toby.
If you wanted somebody to boss you around, you could have just sold your soul to me.
Hey, you stay out of my line of business.
Go away. This isn't for you. Go.
Okay. Here I go. I'm doing something.
No, just go.
Okay. Have a good show, guys.
So.
Asshole.
So, yeah, the devil is back.
Not the devil, you, for selling yourself to an asshole.
Well.
He's always been an asshole.
That's true. Who, devil or the Toby?
Both.
Okay. We're going to start calling you the Toby from now on.
The Toby.
Yeah.
I'd rather, I'm going to start referring to myself as the Toby,
the Toby
in third person.
Yeah.
So the Toby says that it's time to start this show, and today we're going to be talking about voodoo.
Okay.
And
not exactly something the devil needs to be getting into anyway, so...
No, he can stay out of this one. Because this one doesn't have anything...
I think his doings are way more powerful than voodoo itself. Voodoo is for the gods.
So, well, sort of, yeah.
It is.
Now let me... Read the definition that I looked up. I just Google searched the definition of what voodoo was.
Like an official old English dictionary definition.
Well, it's just whatever. When you Google search, it reads a black religious cult practiced in the Caribbean and the southern U.S., combining elements of Roman Catholic ritual and traditional African magical and religious rites, and characterized by sorcery and spirit possession. So,
okay,
it sounds. What does that make it sound like to you?
Pagan-ish, almost.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Another religion.
Yeah.
Before
we get into anything, voodoo, the Hollywood voodoo that we all think of, is not voodoo at all.
What, the sacrificing of the chickens?
Well, it is, but it's mostly the Creole Louisiana voodoo versus the voodoo where it derived from.
Well, okay, there's voodoo and then there's hoodoo. Hoodoo is just the magic part of that.
Okay.
if you're going to say, oh, you're doing that voodoo magic, you're kind of wrong. It's
you're hoodoo. Doing that hoodoo magic.
Right. I think that's what I understood anyways.
Okay.
Hoodoo is like the African-American folk magic, and voodoo is more of the spiritual religious side of it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I think and we could be completely wrong on a lot of this because this topic gets really confusing very quick.
Just remember, hex Toby.
Don't hex, no. Well, that's funny that you said that. There's not really hexes in voodoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Not evil, bad hexes.
Right.
So that's, I don't know. We'll get into
another Hollywood trope is the hexes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. Gotcha. So the most popular places for voodoo are West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Haiti?
Haiti.
It's Haiti.
Haiti and Louisiana.
Haitian
community. Okay, there we go. And Louisiana.
Right.
I think it's also practiced where, like, basically where any West African slaves were taken to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Cuba, Brazil, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic.
Right.
So it's more than those three places, I believe. I might be completely wrong, but I think it's where the slave trade went.
Right.
Is basically, and there's different versions of it.
Of what the?
Of voodoo.
Yeah, you were saying something about three different versions of voodoo.
So one source says in voodoo, they believe in a god. And this god isn't like your normal Christian god. This one's more distant. Like
here, I found it for you. It says, voodoo originated in Africa, specifically with the Fon, Yoruba, and Ewe tribes. Geographically, these ethnic groups can be found throughout Ghana, Togo, Benin, and Nigeria.
Yeah. Well, see, one source that I read said that they call this god Bondi.
Okay.
Or yeah. Bondi. But I believe a better source calls their deity god person Mawalisa.
Okay.
And this god is actually like a brother and sister that one source looked like they were twins,
mm-hmm.
like Siamese twins.
Okay.
Connected. And then another one was like, no, it's two different people. But Mawa is the female half and is the goddess of the moon, while Lisa is the brotherly half that is god of the sun. Together they created the world. And this is interesting. The two were worried about their power overloading the planet. So they asked a world serpent named Da or Adio Hudo
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
curl around it and support it in case of an accident. In another story, I think he throws the planet into the sky. Into the orbit, I guess. I don't know. So this religion is estimated to have existed for like 10,000 years is what this is one source.
Right.
Okay. This is what I read. They say that it's been around for 10,000 years and has roots in ancient
Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia. Egypt. East Africa. India. And ancient Turkey. Ancient Israel. And ancient Greece.
Okay.
Over the centuries, the temples were seized or destroyed, and that helped, like, push the religion into West Africa, where it started to form,
right.
I guess.
Right.
And I guess the main belief, though, is that the Western scholars say that voodoo was created in Cuba, Brazil, and Haiti. Haiti.
The New World with the African slave trade, which began in Haiti during the 1700s.
Right. So, and apparently this is, you know, the Western scholars believe, like, this is it mixed with the Catholic religion.
Okay.
We have at least three or four phases that the original religion has gone through to get to where we are today in what is commonly referred to as voodoo. We have the religion as it originated in Dahomey, where there is a complete spiritual hierarchy moving from West Africa to the Caribbean. Then you have a fusion that takes place with Roman Catholicism. The European element gets in and says, aha, this looks like something I've seen before. And we then begin to get this notion of this African religion being combined with notions of witchcraft, which are basically European in origin. So that by the time now that this religion moves to New Orleans, it has changed again.
So due to the cruelties of slavery, it evolved into a more aggressive, militant, and magical voodoo, though they usually were passive and wanted a, like, the voodoo, voodoon, I guess? Voodon? What do they call people that practice voodoo?
Hoogans or Mambos?
Well, okay, so usually they're passive and they want a balance of good and evil in their lives, right?
Right.
But since they were slaves, they had oppressors, so that's why they got this kind of, like, more aggressive style. The Haitian revolutions that began in 1791 was the ending of French rule and end of slavery. They stood together with a common enemy. The slaves outnumbered the Europeans 3-1. So when I didn't, that's a really long history. I tried to look into it.
Right.
And there's a lot. That's the super summarized version.
So there's a big Haitian revolution that took place.
Right. And that's where people thought that it got like aggressive with the voodoo stuff. This led to not allowing so many slaves to come to the United States in fear that they'd be able to revolt against the slave owners.
Right.
So it kind of limited. Because, like I said, 3-1 in Europe.
Well, that was in Haiti.
In Haiti, yeah. The slave owners feared the strangeness of the voodoo and how it brought the people together. So fear of rebellion was right there always, you know, in their thoughts. That if this voodoo thing, that, you know, they're banding together. They all have this weird religion that they're celebrating. Well,
you also have to consider they also had the Salem witch trials.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, there's a history of superstition when it comes to things like that in this country.
Right.
The early findings of the country.
So, because there's different versions of voodoo, like I was talking about those gods, and so they have different names. There's different versions of everything. We're going to stick with Louisiana voodoo or the New Orleans voodoo.
Is that the most current?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Like the current version of, because the one guy in the clip said it's evolved over time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I bet it's evolved differently but I think it's kind of got the same base on most of it.
So there's like several different possible practices of voodoo.
Yes and no. I think it's just very minor differences. That's,
right.
I went ahead and just stuck with anything Louisiana based.
Okay. Okay. Just to save on time, basically. Right.
Yes. Yes. So the slave owners made a ton of rules for the black slaves, but to keep them happy, they gave them Congo Square, which Congo Square is a really popular voodoo spot.
Attraction.
Yeah. So I guess it's behind the city near the edge of a swamp, or it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays, the slaves were allowed to get together.
One of the reasons that the dance actually became a part of Congo Square was because the dance was being raided anywhere outside of Congo Square. So Congo Square was being given to allow Africans to gather, congregate, dance, to enjoy their rituals, but not too much, but just a way to safety valve everything.
Since voodoo was not understood by the white people in the area, there was a lot of reports of police raiding voodoo rituals. So, if anything, this caused voodoo to stay more underground in the religion circles. But, you know, they'd get together, they'd dance and celebrate and, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's not that bad of a time, is it?
They're still slaves.
Yeah, and, you know, if they're having fun, that's, I don't know. I mean, I don't have that mindset to understand, like, you know, but do you think they're scared because they're having fun and they're slaves and they shouldn't be having fun? Like, what, I wonder what the mindset is on that. You know what am I making any sense?
Well, yeah, but I don't know. It's not really, I don't know. What are you trying to say, actually?
Like, why, I wonder why it was such a big deal for them to practice this at Congo Square. Like, why were they only allowed on Sundays to go dance and have fun? Like, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like where people, like where Christians or Catholics have their place of worship, but it's not as feared as much. Maybe that people thought if they gave them their one little area to celebrate or practice it, that they knew it was isolated there. And Congo Square, no telling where it's at, it could be kind of, you know, it's down by the swamp, out of the way to where people don't have to worry about the fear of it.
I'm saying is like, why wouldn't they let them gather there every night or every day or every other day? I mean, you'd think keep everyone happy so they don't revolt. Like, if you're afraid they're going to revolt, I don't know. It's just a weird thought.
So Sunday is mostly like downtime in a lot of countries and everything and places for family.
You're not supposed to work in some religions.
No work and everything. And so that's their day of.
But that's
mostly the day of rest.
I just wonder why it's just the one day. Like, do they think that if they have too much fun that they would use their voodoo magic to, I don't know. It's a weird thought. I don't know.
Well, again, it goes with control and fear. I mean,
yeah, okay.
They were still slaves, so they were still controlling them. But at the same time, they were still afraid they may revolt. So they gave them just enough to where, well, okay. look at the parallels today. I mean, we work 40 hours and we get a day, maybe two.
And off. Not even that.
Right. Sometimes some people don't even get that. How's that any different?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you really want to look at, if you really want a good mindset on it, look on what we do today. Essentially, we're still slaves, just to a different system, and they call it something else. So
they call it the workforce.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Monday. Yeah. Monday, Labor Day. What do I be doing? Working.
Not me.
Screw off.
But I have to work Saturday, so.
They do believe in a god, the Bondi, mm-hmm. Bondi, which in French means good god. And this is a creator, like I said, that keeps their distance from humanity. They also believe in many other spirits called Loa, Loa, mm-hmm. L-W-A,
mm-hmm.
L-O-A-S. They pronounce it L-W-A, Loa.
Okay.
Loa. We're going to say Loa for...
I'm sure somebody will get on there.
Loa.
And
okay. The Loa, you don't treat like a saint or an angel. They are served. And none of them are alike. And they all have their own personalities and their own special needs mm-hmm. and wants.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Are they kind of like demigods? Or kind
of
like mini spirits?
Sort of.
Okay.
From my understanding in voodoo, guinea.
This isn't just, that's actually just regular. I mean, it's, I guess they.
I've got a couple examples of them here in a minute.
It's not just Louisiana voodoo. That was original voodoo too. So
right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They have a lot of parallels.
They mixed it too, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding in voodoo, there's a spirit world called guinea.
Okay.
And in voodoo belief, when you die, this is not the end. The documentary I watched, one of the people described it as when you die, it's not like the period at the end of a sentence. It's like a comma and your spirit continues to live just in a different dimension, a different plane.
Right.
But it's still tied to the earth, I think.
Is it almost like a different form of reincarnation?
Kind of. I don't know.
Are you born into another body, but in another time, another dimension?
I don't know, but they made it sound like they can continue speaking with their relatives and people that have passed away.
Okay.
So back to the Loa, whatever.
Right.
I pulled a couple of them because they're very interesting. So the first one is Papa Legba. Papa Legba. I think that's what it said.
That's weird. They always call him Papa. A lot of them do. Like, you remember the movie Skeleton Key?
Yeah.
It was Mama Justify and Papa Cecile.
Yeah, Papa is used a lot in like the voodoo, Hollywood voodoo mm-hmm. stuff, huh?
Right.
Because like...
It sounds scarier.
In Constantine, there's Papa Midnight.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So like, and he's like the voodoo person too.
Maybe that's since funny. They have priests and priestesses and you call them father and...
Maybe that's...
But there's not a mother though, really. Well, there is Mother Mary and right. like... So, I mean, maybe it's Papa and Mama mm-hmm. because it's that southern slang.
So, Papa Legba, he is an intermediary between the Loa and the humanity. He stands as a spiritual crossroads and gives or denies permission to speak with the spirits in the guinea.
Okay.
He usually appears as an old man on a crutch with a cane, wearing a broad-brimmed straw hat and smoking a pipe. This is one of the reasons the cross is an important symbol to them. It has to do with the crossroads of life and death.
Oh, okay.
And he is usually compared with St. Peter, St. Lazarus, and St. Anthony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's Papa Legba. Dambala. I'm not sure if I'm saying these right. I apologize to anyone that practices. I'm butchering this, but this is all very interesting. Like, they have some really cool stuff. So
right,
I'm
right.
butchering it, but I've really enjoyed all the research on this.
Lot of theology has really cool characters
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I would get totally off topic.
Dambala. He is the father of all the Loas. He is wise and associated with wisdom, peace, purity, benevolence, life, and innocence. The serpent gets brought up a lot with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is a serpent
mm-hmm.
or what, but everything that I read said something about serpents. White rum is sacred to him. He is usually compared to Saint Patrick, Christ the Redeemer, Our Lady of Mercy, or Moses. If he possesses you, so here's the other thing. They can do little rituals to have the spirits possess them.
Right.
Like, I don't remember why exactly. Yeah, I don't remember why. but
you can do a ritual to get possessed by
yes.
one of these spirits.
So if he possesses you, you immediately fall to the ground. Since snakes don't have feet.
Oh.
And they don't talk, you only make hissing and whistling noises. So you fall and you... And it is believed that his wisdom is too much for us mortals to be expressed through words. So it mm-hmm. could be because he's mm-hmm. a serpent, or it could just be that it's just too much for you to understand. Well,
what's kind of cool, though, is throughout ancient history, at least, snakes were always indicative of wisdom.
Right, yeah.
So
it really only became like the Christian, like, you know,
with the Garden apple. Of Eden.
Yeah, there yeah. we go. That's what made serpents evil to us.
Right, right.
I didn't mean to.
What the fuck hell? Was that?
That's a video that I was trying to save.
Oh.
Of Gibson and Ollie, and I didn't, my sound's off, but I didn't know it was going to do that.
So in the movie Child's Play,
mm-hmm.
Charles Lee Ray, the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
that's the one that's running from the cops at the beginning.
Yeah.
He actually says Dumbala's name in the ritual to transfer his soul into the doll.
Adi Dewey Dembella. Give me the power, I beg of you. Le Mercier de Bois Child. Sacus ente a metwa de mort. Mortis me.
Oh, really?
But it doesn't make any sense because he's all about wisdom and purity and. Like that's
so they basically picked a random voodoo name.
That's what it sounds like.
Threw it into the movie, and immediately he's an evil character.
Dumbala sounds scary.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a scary sounding name, but if you look up, yeah, like you did, and you found out what he's all about, it's not that bad.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
So the next one is...
Darn you, Hollywood.
Yeah.
In your tropes.
Agua, A-G-A-O-U. Don't know how to say that.
Okay.
Is the god who ruled over thunder, rain, lightning, wind, storm, and earthquakes.
So he's Thor.
He's very powerful and violent. He is feared. And I say he, I don't know if it's he or she.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should mention that. He is feared and respected by all. It is said that when the earth tremors, it is because he's angry.
Ah, okay.
The image of Saint Michael is used to represent him.
Okay.
When someone is possessed by him, people tremble in fear because of his violence. It's like the thunder itself. And he's always ready to beat those who do not serve him correctly with his machete or sword.
Oh, nice.
So that's not someone that I'm going to be trying to have possess me.
No.
I'd rather just look like a snake flopping on the floor. Like it was too much.
Instead of grabbing a machete and yeah. making people tremble in fear.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
The next one is Baron Samedi.
I think I've heard of this one.
He is the god of death.
I think I've heard of the Baron.
This one, I think, is like what you see on a lot of like Louisiana.
How do you spell that last part?
Samedi.
Samedi?
Samedi. Samedi. I said it right the first time and now I'm confused.
Okay.
Confused me.
Sorry.
Maybe I didn't say it right. But.
Because I've heard that one before.
Yeah, no. Because he's the one that you see always.
Mm-hmm.
He has a top hat, mm-hmm. black tail coat, dark yes. glasses, cotton plugs in his nostrils, as if to resemble a corpse dressed and prepared for burial. He has a white face, or sometimes depicted, he has a skull for a face.
Mm-hmm.
He is noted for disruption, obscenity, debauchery, and having particularly fondness for tobacco and rum. As well as being a master of the dead, Baron Samedi is also the giver of life. He can cure any mortal of any disease or wound if he thinks it's worthwhile.
See, this is my kind of... This is my kind of guide right here.
This one's cool. This one, hold on. So he also ensures that all corpses rot in the ground to stop any soul from being brought back as a brainless zombie. His powers are also often used on curses and dark magic. He is the father of all Geti, and the Geti are a family of Loa that embody the powers of death and fertility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's compared to Saint Martin de Porus.
So he's more of a balance.
Yeah.
As far as the gods go.
But he's also kind of like death.
Yeah. But so with the Baron around, there's no zombie apocalypse.
The Baron's the one that we have to...
To thank.
To thank.
So thank you,
the
Baron.
Bondi for.
I'll get him some rum later.
But see, that's what's cool about Bondi, their god, Bondi, or however you say it. He's there, or he or she is there. But it's like, okay, I gave you these other leaders and these other figures to keep y'all under control. Kind of like Greek mythology.
Yeah, any of the ancient mythologies.
Right.
Yeah, Greek, Roman,
yeah.
The Egyptian, all kinds of good stuff.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk about some of their symbolism, their voodoo dolls, and some of the other stuff.
Cool.
Hello again, everyone. It's Mr. Most Days Off from the Best Darn Diddly Review Show, here with a special message for you from Richie the Whiz Kid.
You know, a town without Best Darn Diddly is a little like the mule with the spinning wheel. No one knows how he got it, and danged if he knows how to use it. The name's Whiz Kid, Richie the Whiz Kid, and I come before you good fans of Springfield with probably the greatest podcast. It's not for you. It's more of a Shelbyville podcast.
Now, you wait here just a minute. We're twice as smart as the people of Shelbyville. You tell us where to listen to Best Darn Diddly and we'll listen.
I'll tell you exactly where you can listen to it. You can catch the Best Darn Diddly Review Show each and every Monday on bestdarndiddly.com.
So hop on the monorail and join us on this journey through the Simpsons series.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio. We also have a sister show, Splurch, where we dive into the world of comics and all the crazy aspects of life. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, our YouTube channel, visit our site, Parlapod.com, and consider supporting our Patreon for some really cool rewards and exclusive content. Check us out on PodcastRadioNetwork.net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join the conversation on Twitter by following at Parlapod. We'll see you in the swamps.
In the swamps. In the swamps. In the swamps.
Good evening, future passengers. Are you ready to sit back, relax, and join us on a ride of epic proportions through the mystical land of randomness?
Am I a serial killer if I eat Lucky Charms?
What would it be like if horror characters ran a gym? Who would run spin class?
When a shark jumps out of the water, is it like suffocating for that split second?
So join us every week for a brand new derailment with Goobs, Ripkin, and Jenny Bean.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Derailers.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and also on YouTube. Have a great night or day, folks.
Hi, I'm Desmond.
And I'm Shalom.
And we're the Non-Historians.
Just two guys with big mouths and little historical knowledge who
take on pop history and everyday history things.
It's so close to learning that you just might.
Like the fact that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Well, he composed it. However, it was physically written by Thomas Matlick, clerk to the Secretary of the Second Continental Congress.
Boom. Did your mind just explode? Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and other podcast catchers.
You can find us online at Not Historians on Twitter and on Facebook.
Now enjoy the rest of your show.
You sold your soul, so what's the difference?
Hey, we're back.
Oh.
And leave my soul out of this.
Yeah, leave your soul out of this. It's mine, and hey,
It's not yours until he's dead.
Well, I can make that happen at any point.
But then, yeah, you are the devil. That is the weak
part. I am the devil, bitch.
Sorry, Jobs. You're out.
Yeah. So, anyways, can we get back into the Satan?
Yeah, sure. Just, go ahead. I'll go back over here to my corner.
Yeah, go.
Thank you.
Get out.
So, we're gonna talk about symbolism.
Oh, okay.
So, like I said, the skull.
Repeat. Error.
So, like I said, the cross is used for the crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
The skull isn't for death, it's more of respect of ancestral worship.
Okay.
Almost like celebrating their passing and their cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
Not like having your grandma's skull on your shelf or anything, but like it's not a bad, scary thing. Like, we put skulls on stuff that's dangerous.
Right.
Because it's death.
Yeah.
But there's more of a...
Like respectful...
Yes. Yeah. But like I said, they don't have their...
So our t-shirts, are they out of respect for the dead and our dead relatives and ancestors?
Our logo, our skull logo? this now.
I say after the voodoo episode, that's what it means.
Yeah, and like I said, the serpent is supposed to represent wisdom, mm-hmm. like Nambala. Mm-hmm. But some of the things can be like equated to like the Christian praying in front of the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, that's praying to the other side and to the crossroads and everything, and, right. and praying to your loved ones and stuff. So that still kind of is the same.
Right. I think in one of the documentaries I was watching on voodoo doesn't have a problem with Christianity. It's Christianity that usually has the problem with voodoo, or Catholicism that has the problem
right,
with
yeah.
voodoo.
But like I said, voodoo and Catholicism kind of go hand in hand mm-hmm. in a lot of this.
Yeah.
So let's talk voodoo dolls real quick.
Yes. Myth or fact?
Fact a little bit, but okay. mostly myth.
Okay.
It's not at all how Hollywood portrays it. No needles poking and hurting. Voodoo is not about hurting people. Voodoo is, I didn't see anything that was like, I'm going to cast a spell on you and I'm mm-hmm. going to hex you. Mm-hmm. Nothing. They all were like, no, that's
so again, Hollywood. another Hollywood myth that they want to hurt people with voodoo.
Right. So they do make these dolls and mm-hmm. they may use human hair, fingernails, animal parts.
Right.
And sometimes they're not even dolls. They're kind of like something that we'll talk about in a little while, but they're like little bags.
Okay.
And most of the time, they're used for like healing and positiveness.
Okay.
But by the time this practice gets to New Orleans, it gets mixed with the European superstition and witchcraft and mm-hmm. bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. why it's got this scary
right.
Feeling to it. So let's hear from a few healers about voodoo.
This doll here is made, I put it on my altar and I blessed it. I put a spirit in this doll, a real live spirit into this doll. This doll can be for anyone, but before I give it to them, I hold their hand and I say a prayer. And that way, the doll is for that person only. When I was born, God gave me a gift to heal and to help people, you know, and so if I use it for bad things, I lose it. God will take it away from me.
There are people who call me all the time because they want negative things done. And I tell them, under no circumstances, for any amount of money, will I do anything negative. Because you do reap what you sow. You cannot do an evil work or invoke an evil spirit to hurt someone and attempt to build a circle of protection around yourself. I would be rich if I were to cater to the demands of people who want evil work.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it seems that they believe in a balance of good and evil, like mm-hmm. I've been saying this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Karma was talked about a lot in the documentaries I watched.
Right.
They talked about sometimes you have to use evil in a good way, but they never were like straight up, you know, evil.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's all myth, though. The whole hexes and...
So, whenever I was looking into it, it said that people who do voodoo... they have to take extensive spiritual classes and stuff. Like, so when that guy was like, God gave me a gift, well, a lot of them are taught how to do it, and they...
Well, yeah, they're all taught how to do it, but you can still have...
Maybe it comes naturally to some people.
Yeah, some people might believe...
Yeah, but with any religion, not everything comes naturally, it's taught.
It's just like a pastor being like, you know, God spoke to me and said that
I
need to...
I could heal you.
Well, that, but I'm talking about, like, God spoke to me and said that I need to teach his word. You know, it's something, you know, it's this very similar. God spoke to him and said that he's a voodoo master or whatever they call him. That's how I look at it, though, mm-hmm. is not that he just had the know-how, that he still had to learn how to do it.
But some people have natural talents.
Right, some people...
In every aspect, not just voodoo and everything, but some people are fast runners, some people like math. I can't do...
Some people turn tricks.
Exactly.
you have to learn how to do it somehow.
Right, you got to learn how to do it, and if you're good at it, by God, there it is, you know.
So, they believe... You have to have full belief in the voodoo. Like, you can't just learn...
Can't half-ass it.
You can't learn how to do it and just be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it because I learned how to do it. You have to be in the mindset that you can do it and that you're going to be able to do it and that it's going to work.
So, it goes back into the faith of it right. as well.
So, those bags I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
they're called Gregory bags or Grigori bags.
Okay.
There's a bunch of different names. There's a bunch of different pronunciations. I'm going to just call it Grigori. It's usually a small cloth bag with objects in it. Starch, dried beans, metal fillings, animal skins, fingernails. I mean, anything can be in it.
Right. Now, do the items in it, I'm guessing that they have different properties for different like cures for different healings and
that's what I think. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I think.
Right.
So basically you can make one for like good luck, to help get a job or something, or
just kind of like a charm.
Yeah, yeah, but you have to be in that mindset that right. it's going to get you the job.
Right.
Or it's not going to work.
So basically just like mind over matter in most anything else.
Right. And it's, I guess it's not the ingredients that make them lucky or whatever.
It's your own belief in them.
It's the intention that you put on it that matters.
Right.
So apparently, I guess it's like wearing a cross or a lucky rabbit's foot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, just, it's what you put your faith into.
It's your energy that right. you put into it. You put negative energy into something. Well, I look at it like cooking. If you cook in a good mood,
it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be freaking amazing. If you cook just to slap something together because you're hungry, it's not that good.
Right.
Same thing. Same concept.
Here's a clip of two people explaining how they make theirs.
Okay.
Their Gregory bags.
Gotcha.
So whenever I make a Gregory bag, I'm invoking spirit forces, the God and the good spirit forces, also the Christ spirit to help. But in addition to it, invoking them, I am directing my thoughts and my energies out to pull to me in a very positive way exactly what I see, and it does work.
I had a gentleman who came to me in tears because there was a certain lady he was dating, and for some reason she had dumped him, and he was all in tears. So I told him, I said, look, you want to get back in good graces? I said, you have to use some magic. So I had him stand in front of all the night, told him to light a come-to-me candle. We dressed it and sprinkled hair in the candle. And I told him to tie his underwear around the woman's underwear, to tie her up sexually. And we took the woman's picture and set the candle on top of the picture. And I told him to visualize, send his energy, communicate with his subconscious mind to the woman's subconscious mind. So I said, well, look, now you can go back and make love to her and be back in her good graces. And he did it, and everything worked out perfectly.
So what if that isn't really like a spell? What if it just gives somebody a boost of confidence, kind of like a placebo, to where they go back and they're like, yeah, because I did this voodoo, you know, I'm going to be able to make love to her. And what if he made love to her better than what he ever did? Well, and she's like, oh, wait, here's this.
That's the same as the miracle of God.
Confidence booster. Yeah,
right.
I mean, what happened to, let's just pray on it or pray about it. Instead, they're like, wrap each other's underwear up and sprinkle some hair. There's nothing that makes you want to love somebody like some burning hair smell.
It's
disgusting.
I'm going to get in touch with some voodoo people and say girl.
Well, I'm sure you can assign the spell on Google if you really wanted to try it.
Nope. You've already sold your soul, man. You're out of luck.
Abraham, bring up the soul?
That's right.
Yeah, I own that shit.
Get out of here now.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Pussy.
Hey, leave our producer alone. That was
a big puss.
So, the candles. In some of the documentaries I watched, they talked about like different color candles, and they'll burn them for different things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you burn like a pink one, that's for love. If you burn a black one, it's put bad luck on some people. Now, I guess green is for money. I don't know. There's a bunch of different ones.
I'm going to get me that spell. Green.
Get you some green candles.
Instead of getting money, though, it's going to be like I turn into an amazing farmer with my green thumb.
So these candles, the bad luck and everything. Those are kind of what you'll find at the shops in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans.
So what's funny though, you know, is like people who practice this, like they don't realize that you have to have, I mean, their candles are, that you get from the magic shops, their spells done over them, everything like that. So when people are like, yeah, get some candles, and then they pull out their little Febreze candles, it's like, no, that doesn't work that way.
Well, hold on. I want you to hear what, so I was, this documentary, this pastor, he does not buy into the candle burning thing.
Okay.
Listen to this. It's kind of funny.
The candle can warm us. A candle can give light. Above and beyond that, a candle cannot do anything. But people believe that by burning a green candle, they'll get money. By burning a black candle, they can put bad luck on someone, which is absolutely stupid. No thing has any power beyond what the world of physical realm has within it. But people become superstitious in burning candles. and forgetting that it's only God who gives whatever is given, and it's certainly not a candle.
So I play this clip. It's not to be controversial, but this is a pastor talking about these people's beliefs and calling it superstition.
Now, wait a minute. Is it not in a wedding where they light the candles and then they both light the one using both of them?
The unity candle.
The unity candles.
That's what I'm trying to say. This pastor's so pissed off.
And Catholic, like,
do you see what I'm saying?
A lot of Catholic churches, they have candles out so that you can light them for loved ones.
I was going to say, don't they light candles in churches
We're talking about eating the cracker, drinking the wine, and he's making fun of, he's pissed.
Wine my ass, it's grape juice now. They've already skimped out on the wine.
Yeah. Or is it Mandela effect?
No, I know wine when I taste it. That's not Mandela.
But, you see what I mean? Am I wrong for playing this clip?
You're like, it's funny. He's being kind of a hypocrite saying, yes, this is stupid that the candles, it's like, but you use candles. Like, yeah, Catholicism, they have the cracker and
there's
the
baptisms.
And the wine.
And the baptisms. Like, I just thought it was really.
And the water that's holy because a pastor prayed over it, but you don't know if that pastor is not a good pastor. So people who are getting baptized could have had a child molesting pastor bless the water that they just bathed in. And it doesn't, so I mean, useless. So does it mean? Yeah. Right. Like
now that we're past the pastor stuff, I want to let the voodoo people talk about these candles that you find in these shops.
Okay.
Because they don't like them either.
The pastor, what's funny about the pastor is he's like, that's stupid. He just,
I
like,
wish it would have been like, that's
stupid.
Fucking absurd.
Leave your hand. Stupid. Just leave it to God.
Leave it to God.
You hear that, devil? He's making fun of your black magic over there.
Hey, just, that pastor doesn't know shit, okay? He's ignorant. Duh. Goddamn.
Is he stupid?
He's a little stupid. Okay, Toby said something about a clip with some voodoo people.
What they actually business. Think about him?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to play that.
Thank you.
No problem.
Horrible producer.
When you go into a lot of these so-called, and I do see it, so-called voodoo shops, you will find a plethora of all kind of voodoo paraphernalia. Some of these things are obviously meant as larks or joke. Shut your mouth, wash. People laugh at this. The discerning person can tell what is actually meant as a spiritual aid and what is used as a lark. I make potions myself. I'll make Gregory bags, but I do not make them as a joke. I try to put traditionally what goes in each. I will pray over it to empower it, and then I will show my client how to use it with visualization, with prayer and meditation.
So yeah, they clearly do not like those candles.
No.
So when you're going, don't be tricked is basically why I put this little part in there. Don't be tricked when you go to Louisiana and use the shut your mouth candle.
Shut your mouth wash.
Shut your mouth wash. But it's a candle and you light it and I guess it makes someone shut their mouth. There's a bunch of like really goofy ones.
Those things would be sold out.
When she said that, I thought of the wrap it up box from Dave Chappelle, that skit he did in the show.
I don't remember that one.
It was like if a conversation was running too long, he pulls this box out and it's like, wrap it up like at an award show.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's
it was
really
great.
Funny.
That's the first thing I thought of with the shut your mouth wash.
I gotta get me one of those. Be like, don't make me light it. I will fucking light it right now if you don't shut the fuck up.
It's like giving someone a can of whoop ass, like an actual little can.
I'll spray it. I can spray the shit out of you if you don't. I'm gonna open it.
I'll open up this can. It's my voodoo.
So let's move on to Marie Laveau,
okay,
the voodoo queen.
Ooh.
So she's one of the most popular voodoo
icons.
People. Yeah, icons of this. Yeah, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's believed she was born between 1794 and 1803. Other sources have a very like hard date of September 10th, 1801. So it's kind of unknown, I guess. She was Louisiana Creole, and I had to look up what Creole was, and basically I think it's someone that was born in Louisiana instead of in another country. I think it's also implied that she was a descendant of an African slave or Native American, and again, she was born in Louisiana.
Okay.
Instead of out in one of the other countries that slaves were brought over from.
Right. Is she the one that curses an entire town to disappear after her death or something?
You know, I didn't look into many of her legends. I got one.
Okay.
So we'll get into it in a second. One source says she was born to two free African-American / Native American people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another says that she was born to a white plantation owner and his slave mistress.
Okay.
She was free, which was, this is the time of slavery. She had two daughters that survived.
That survived?
Yeah.
Were they scuba?
Yeah, they... She had two daughters that survived until adulthood.
Okay.
She had a very good relationship with the head of the New Orleans Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. She worked with a pastor named Pierre Anton, something like that.
Okay.
And she worked with him to help free slaves and work with the prisoners.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's believed that she was a Catholic, but also obviously believed in voodoo. Apparently, a lot of people were like this, going to Mass in the morning and then going to Congo Square for the voodoo ceremonies later in the evening or in the afternoon. It's believed that Congo Square is where she was taught voodoo by a voodoo priest named Dr. John. One source says that she was in business for herself as a hairdresser. So all these women would come to her to have their hair done. While sitting there, they would gossip and she'd learn things about the people in the city.
Oh, okay.
So that might be important.
Right.
Some believe she would have people spied on and would eventually gain, like, political connections.
Right. Is it weird that she's a hairdresser? Because didn't the American Horror Story witchcraft one?
Yeah, they did do that.
Wasn't the voodoo chick a hairdresser?
That's her.
Mary
was
LaVeau.
It really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's her.
Same character?
Yeah.
Supposed to be her?
Yeah.
Mary LaVeau.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I haven't got to see that any of the...
Because remember, she was supposedly hundreds of years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll get to that in a minute. Apparently... She would sell the Grigory bags, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
And Greg bags.
Yeah, Greg bags. She'd sell them from her home, and this would help her reputation as a voodoo queen with mysterious powers.
Mm.
Because of her connections with Pastor Anton, whatever, she was allowed to do voodoo ceremonies at the altar at the Catholic Church, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. They don't let that kind of stuff in the Catholic Church.
Right.
So
Catholics are usually pretty darn rigid on their beliefs.
So one story I have on her is what convinced most people that her voodoo powers were real.
Okay.
Happened in the 1830s. So it goes like this. A rich man's son was on trial for murder. The lawyers told him that the son's case was hopeless. He asked her for help and offered her a house for free if she could free his son with voodoo. She prayed for weeks at St. Louis Church, and she tortured herself to help the son.
Okay.
She put three hot guinea peppers in her mouth and held them in there for hours. And the reason behind this is that she hoped the spirits would take pity on her for suffering for this cause, because she is, you know, she had all intentions of, like, I'm suffering because I want help this bad to help this person.
Right.
On the morning of the trial, she snuck in and put the three peppers underneath the judge's chair. It's believed that the voodoo peppers influenced the judge to set the man free. The legend goes that the rich man did keep his end of the deal and gave her a house on St. Anne Street.
Okay.
And I think there's plenty of videos online of this house that supposedly was hers.
Right.
So some believe that she had political ties, she knew the judge, and got the guy off that way.
Mm.
But there's that legend.
Right. Kind of conspiracy.
Kind of, yeah. She died in 1881, but it's believed that she still has powers over the city.
Mm-hmm.
Her tomb is at St. Louis Cemetery Number 1. It's also believed that she might not have been one person. It may have been a mother and a daughter. The mother would have been the hairdresser,
mm-hmm.
and it just shifted to the daughter or something along the lines.
Okay.
The daughter was the more of the Grigory bags and selling them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when the mother passed away, the identity was assumed to the daughter.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So one legend on her tomb is to draw three X's, spin three times, and then knock three times, and she'll grant you a wish.
Again, the number three.
Yeah, just,
yeah.
But since then, I think they've painted her tomb and redone it because so many people were vandalizing it. I mean, that's what it is. It's vandalizing. And it's actually believed that her remains may not even be in that tomb.
She may actually still be alive.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. So, but yeah, that's her. She's
kind of cool.
And I'm sure there's all kinds of legends that I'm missing out on.
Right.
We could probably do a full episode on just her legends alone.
I don't think it's her then. That I do remember one of the documentaries I was watching talking about a voodoo priestess along the same line, that she was always reminding the people in the village that when she died, the village was going to get wiped out.
It could very well be her, because, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she had the whole city convinced. That's what they made it sound like in some of the documentaries. Mm-hmm. But so the voodoo is a religion of sorts. It's not about the devil. It's not about hexes. It's not about like evil magic.
Most of it seems pretty positive.
Yeah, it's a positive self-help religion.
Right.
Many people won't openly admit that they practice because the bad stigma that it has.
I was gonna say, where did this stigma come from? Where did the
It's just the, you know, when the plantation owners they saw them practicing something that's different. They're praying to all these gods and stuff. And then, you know, witchcraft, like you said earlier.
Right.
There's witchcraft that gets mixed into it. So, I mean, if you're burning stuff and putting weird stuff in these Grigori bags,
right,
it looks like you're making a spell.
And it doesn't seem like Hollywood's helping to perpetrate this myth either.
Which is crazy. Like, I thought we were going to be doing like a really cool black magic kind of episode.
Right.
I had full belief that that's what we were going to get into, some real spooky stuff.
Right.
And the coolest part of all this is like their beliefs and the
different gods,
the god type people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not at all what we expected.
No, not even close to what we expected it to be.
So that's what this show's for. Like, we thought one thing completely of it, and it's not
at all.
No.
What about the they still do sacrifice like chickens and goats and stuff, don't they?
Okay.
Or is that a branch of?
There was something about that. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Right.
But it's not as. Okay, so there is one man named the Chicken Man or something like that.
Uh huh.
And he used to do like live stage shows as a voodoo person.
Right.
And he'd bite the heads off chickens and stuff.
So he's Ozzy Osbourne.
Kind of, but that was his like performance.
Oh, okay.
But he does believe in voodoo, but that was his performance. Like, that's what, I don't know, but he ended up getting like served by animal rights groups and stuff like that. So he had to stop doing it. And then he was like, yeah, I kept doing it for a while, but you know, he's like, I was biting the heads off chickens.
Okay.
Like, well, that's what his excuse for quitting was. He's like, but yeah, no, I mean, so there's people that don't, in their own voodoo circles, that don't help the common beliefs.
Right. Okay. I got you.
So,
I got you.
And then especially with the shops in New Orleans selling these candles and making it all about this, this black magic.
It's almost like a novelty as opposed to the actual faith.
Right. So it's the people that actually practice voodoo and Hollywood that have they make money off of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why not? To keep practicing what they believe and to make a little money.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess that falls into like, well, you got karma on you. But if you think, I'm trying to make this to where it's a good karma. Because if they're making money off of lying to people, but it makes people feel better about what they're doing, even if it's negative.
Well, okay. Well, like you said earlier, it's all about the energy that's put into it, really. If you really think you're helping someone, but you're charging a couple of bucks for it, okay. Well, how's that any different than a doctor?
Yeah, but if they're buying like the death candle, or I don't know if there is a death candle, but if they're doing something that's negative, is that actually a positive that you're helping that person to feel better by buying a negative item?
No. If you're putting out negative, you're going to get negative.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's... That's voodoo.
Yeah.
I don't have any more to add to it.
Right. It's just a twist that I didn't expect was how...
Religious?
Religious and how positive it actually is. Because, like we touched on a couple times, you got the Hollywood myths, TV shows, you got the couple of weirdos.
Yeah, Skeleton Key movie. I mean, that movie, I mean, there's barely anything in it. Except for like that voodoo hoodoo stuff, but I mean, it to me scares the shit out of me because they are playing like their seances and stuff that they do, and it just gives me the cold chills even thinking about it. Especially when they're like, "Mama, Papa Justify," and Mama Cecile, and they're in that like Creole voice and like saying all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh, fuck that. Like, I would not be. I'd move completely out of Louisiana.
You know, and what if there's a possibility, like, this is the cover-up of the dark magic of voodoo?
Or the lighter version of it.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
You
like,
know, Toby, just when I thought it was going to be ending a positive note, you got to spin it down.
I don't know. I love this. I think all of this is very fascinating.
It really is.
And I apologize if we get 90% of this wrong. This is all the research. I watched two different documentaries. I tried to. There's so much different stuff with the different areas.
A lot of history with voodoo.
And like that whole revolution. It's a huge, long thing. Like, it's not just like something that happened in a few years.
Right.
Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I just had to scam over it because.
Right.
Skim. I had to scam over it.
Not scam.
I scammed them.
You scammed over a revolution. Good job, buddy.
But anyways, there's a lot more to it. We skimmed all of this.
Right.
Did I say it right now?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And
too much to cover in otherwise it'd probably be like a 4-hour episode cover all of it.
I was really kind of hoping that there's going to be some more evil stuff in this episode.
The only evil stuff is Hollywood, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I have most of their souls.
Yeah, so you probably produced that too.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Home Alone.
I did produce Home Alone. Actually, if you look in the producer credits, that's my work.
Right. You know what? And I would give somebody props if they figure out what movie reference I'm doing the Home Alone thing to, with the devil. I'll tell you off air, that way I'll let people guess.
If you know the answer to that, please tweet us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go ahead and end this one.
Okay,
Texas, or tweet us.
Tweet us.
Tweet us.
Text us.
Tweet us if you know Rudy's movie reference, because I don't know it either.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you off mic.
All right. Adios.
Bye.
Say bye, Kristen.
Oh, see ya. I'm still thinking about that. Still thinking about
Don't let the devil tell you what to do.
Suck it, bitch.
There you go.
I'm gonna kill you. Kidding, just kidding, just kidding.
Say bring it.
Alright, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would, be kind enough to go leave us a review on iTunes and make sure you're subscribed. We're also available on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Satchel, a couple other places, anywhere you can find your podcast. So if you happen to switch devices, no worries. You can find our show available on all of them. We also have a YouTube channel. You can go subscribe to it. I haven't updated it in a while. I need to get back on that. You have my word. I'll get back on that. We have an Instagram and a Twitter account, so please go follow those at Secret Trans Pod. You can also like our Facebook page, and we now have a super secret Secret Transmissions group on Facebook. That way you can come and chit-chat about recent episodes, maybe some news, if there's UFO news or anything cool like that, we can post in there. Or you can share your own experiences. It's a closed group, so you gotta be approved. So go join that group. We would love to talk to you in there. Make sure you're checking out the Dark Myths at darkmyths.org. We are part of this collective of awesome podcasts. That's the only way to describe it. It's just a bunch of really good shows. Don't know how we're on there, but hey, we're on there. So go check out some of the really great shows that are on there, darkmyths.org, or you can follow them on Twitter at darkmythspods. Speaking of Dark Myths, a couple of Dark Myth members will be at Mothman this weekend. So if you are at the Mothman Festival this weekend, make sure you look for David from Blurry Photos and Derek from the Monsters Among Us podcast. And I'm sure there's more people that are going to be there. Those are the only two that I know off the top of my head. Also, make sure you look for Zinger from Zing This. He will be attending. But back to our business. If you need to email us something, you can email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail. We don't have any voicemails this week. Kind of makes me sad. But you can leave us a voicemail, 304-602-7444. Just leave us a voicemail. It can be about anything. You can say, hi, how you doing? You can wish someone a happy birthday. You can tell us you love us. You can tell us your thoughts on a previous episode. Again, that number is 304-602-7444. And all of this will be in the description of the episode. So go look at the description if you missed anything. You can order a shirt from us. We have a website that we use called What a Maneuver. There's a link also for the t-shirt. If you buy a shirt, it helps support the show. We do have a Patreon that you can donate to, but with all this hurricane mess happening, go donate to one of those this month. And don't worry about us. Just be aware that we do have a Patreon. We're trying to save up to get some stickers. And as soon as we hit that goal, I'm gonna make some more goals for some more goodies. But yeah, don't worry about it this month. Donate to something that's actually meaningful. We're just a silly podcast. And I was talking about Zanger a second ago. He will be on our next week's episode when we talk about Phil Schneider. And if you like conspiracies, UFOs, this is going to be the episode for you, because there's so much to this episode. So until next week, we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
I'm still sleeping.
Does Phil sound like the devil?
Yes.
Hold on.
Because what? You're what? Sleeping?
I'm sleeping.
Does this sound better as the devil?
Sounds the same.
Does this sound better?
No.
No.
You can hear
no. Does this sound better?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That one's the devil?
Mm-hmm. That's the best.
Is that the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Can you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, this is really, really deep for the devil.
Well, maybe the devil's having a good day.
And wait, I mean,
Okay. It's going about a 10.
I don't know, right now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can, and you can hear me echo in the background, and I have a deep voice.
What about this one?
Yeah, that's fine.
This one?
Yeah.
This one's good?
That's good.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so 7. 7 is the devil.
That's unfortunate.
Let's see what 6 is. This is 6.
Yep.
6? 6 is the devil?
It's a little bit more devilish.
Oh, that's a devil.
Can you take this for a sleep song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the way it's always meant to be.
Did a Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. I sound like Mark, Randy Savage from the Kool-Aid Man.
But when you talk to him, man, you sound like Scott Hall.
Scott Hall, I don't know who that is.
He's the bad guy.
Who's
Ayo.
Ayo.
Oh, that's too funny.
I wish I had a voice changer.
Watch this.
We do have a voice changer.
Hello?
Hey.
Fuck you.
Hey, can you do one of us in like a normal voice? Yeah, do Kristen in a normal voice. I wanna ask her something.
Oh, hold on. Wait, what do you want? Am I still a child? I am still a child. Hey, is Kristen normal voice? Hold on.
No, I'm not.
Hey, now she's normal. Are you normal?
Yeah.
Can you see Kristen? What's up, little child?
What did you do, that sucker?
I heard Daddy talking about it with Mommy, and Mommy wasn't having it.
It was worth your soul, Toby.
You started this bit. You're going to have to live with the jokes.
He is an
intermediary.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.